And if you have your Bibles with you, please turn it to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Jesus is above all things. Amen. Glory to God. We're here to exalt the Lord Jesus this morning. Colossians, chapter 1. You could share the Bible to someone who doesn't have one right now. Colossians 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace and peace to you from our God, our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. When you are given an opportunity to hear the message of the gospel, you are blessed. You are blessed. Because all over the world, the word of God, this gospel of our Lord Jesus is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. See, when your faith is built up, it becomes an encouragement to others. Isn't that wonderful about the Lord? For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will, through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way. Isn't wonderful that everything, beginning to realize that everything that we do now, from now on, will please God. Wonderful. And will bear fruit, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Being, look at this, being strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. We all need that, and it comes from God. And joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you and me to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Christ all things were created. You were created by Jesus Himself. You are alive because of Him. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Christ and for Christ. Yes. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Woo! Praise the Lord. And He is the head of the body, which is the church. Jesus is the head, no one else. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Christ, and through Him, through Christ alone, to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through the blood of Jesus that He shed on the cross. That's what we need. That's what people need, to have peace. And peace can only be found in Jesus alone. Once you and I were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight. Hallelujah. Without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature in heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. We thank the Lord for His word. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Powerful word from the Lord. Amen. What a beautiful day. Amen. What a beautiful day. I'm excited. The first Sunday of December. of 2019. Where has 2019? It has gone by so fast. But you know, I'm excited because, you know, God has blessed us with so much, and we would like to acknowledge some people who are here with us today. And it's such a blessing to meet them today. I met her earlier this morning, and we welcome Zina, the daughter of our sister Ruby. Let's welcome Zina. Amen. We welcome you, Zina, and all the way from France. Wow. Bonjour. Those are the only French words that responde, si vous plaît, you know, whatever. But of course, we would like to welcome finally the opportunity for us to meet Camille and the husband JP, which is short for John Paul, right? From New Zealand. Camille is the daughter of Brother Nelson and Sister Nancy. We welcome you. Praise the Lord. And we have the sister. Oh, JP, what's your name? Christine. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome from New Zealand. How do you like the weather here in LA? I know. Praise the Lord. But we thank God for this opportunity, and we welcome you all. This is, you know, church is family. And we're so blessed to have with us, of course, Pastor Yida and our sister Deanna with us today. Amen. Praise God. And hopefully you had a wonderful and blessed Thanksgiving. It started with the turkey stuff, but you ended up being stuffed, right? But you know, time is a gift from God, and we are so thankful for this time that we can be together to just thank Him for all of His blessings. Amen. And we are excited. There's so much to be excited about. And of course, you know, when you came in, the place is already like decorated with, you know, Christmas is here. And there's something beautiful. For me personally, Christmas is that's the best holiday for me. But being a Christian now, it takes more more meaning. It's not just about the gifts under the Christmas tree, but the best gift that anyone can receive is the gift of God's love through Christ. And so keep your heart open to the person of our Lord Jesus. And you know, He's real, He's alive, and He's worthy to be praised and to be adored and served. Amen. And so let me just give you some, you know, important announcements as, you know, for this time. Can I tell you that before we call on our, you know, ushers for our giving, because giving is part of our worship to God. When our lives have been blessed by the Lord, we come to realize that He has a greater purpose in blessing us, that blessings would flow through us. You and I become His extensions and channels of blessings. Pastor Romel, who is the pastor of this church in Montalban, Rizal, in the Philippines, and we have been doing this for years now, and can I tell you, we're going to show the video next time, next Sunday. With your giving goes a long way. Many families who are so poor, because in that part of the country, people don't have houses to live in. There was one video that Pastor Romel showed of a place, no walls, and he was kidding. He said to that man who lived there, there was just a small used cot. Oh, you have an air-conditioned place. Because, you know, it's just the breeze that comes right through that house. So many cannot afford even to buy food. Do you know that they received our boxes and now they're getting ready on December 6th for the outreach? Many families will have something to eat because of what you are giving towards the kingdom of God. They are excited. And not just that. You know, people begin to know that there's a God who loves them in spite of what they're going through people, God's people that would say yes to God's call to be a blessing to others. Because there's so much to be thankful for most of us here in America. There's so much. It's really a nation of abundance. And thank you so much for being a part of this. We have more boxes. In fact, they receive 8 boxes of those jumbo balikbayan boxes filled with clothes, food, canned goods, toys for the kids. And there will be close to 100 pouches that we've put together for children to be blessed this Christmas. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Know that your giving goes a long way, and that on top of that, the greatest blessing is now they are given the opportunity to hear the Word of God, the gospel of our Lord. Lives will be changed. It's a, sa Tagalog, tambaka ng basura. It's where people would throw trash, a landfill. And so the means of livelihood of most people there would be to just go through the garbage and find things that they could resell. Like, what can you find from a heap of mountain of garbage? But you know what? We are believing because God has given us a word. God is a God of restoration. God is going to bring hope to these people through us. In our giving, be encouraged. Be encouraged that lives will be changed. As we call on the ushers, before we call on the ushers, let's come to the Lord and let's just thank Him. Let's just thank God, who is our abundant supplier, faithful supplier. You might find yourself in need, but can I challenge you? When God speaks to your heart and mind to give towards God's kingdom, know that God sees it and He will multiply it because He is faithful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are the perfect example in giving. You gave Your best. You gave Jesus, Your only Son, whom You love. And that because of that love, Lord God, You did not withhold Him from us. And so, Lord, because You did that, a question is raised in our minds. If You gave Your best, how shall You not in Christ freely give us all things that we need for today and for our tomorrows, God? Thank You that we should not be worried about the provision, because it is You who will provide. You are God, You are never late in providing for the needs of Your people, God. And Lord, we thank You for the spirit of generosity that has touched the hearts of these people, God. And what a privilege for us to be used by You, even to be a blessing to so many who need Jesus. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank You, God, that as we take this offering today, that, Lord, You would bless Your people today. Because You are faithful and true to Your word. Your promise is that when we learn to give, Lord, with a good attitude of the heart, a cheerful, to be glad and to take this as a privilege for us to give towards Your kingdom. As we give our tithes and offering today, we thank You, Lord God, that You're going to bless Your people. Lord, beyond measure, God, You're going to open the floodgates of heaven to pour out Your blessings, that we can be a blessing to so many, God. Bless Your people today, oh God, and even spiritually, the peace and the joy that only comes from You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we call on the ushers, amen. Praise God. Glory to God.
You're so good to us, God. Let's sing it.
Jesus, You are so good. Jesus, You are so good. There's nothing to fear, cause I'm here in Your presence. Jesus, You are so good. Jesus, You are so, so good. I just want to thank You with every beat of my heart.
I just
want to
thank You, Lord.
Jesus, You are so good. Jesus, You are so good. There's nothing to fear, because I'm here in
Amen.
Your presence.
How many of us will agree to declare that our God is a good God? And it's good all the time. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let me take this opportunity. So next Sunday, December 8th, we're going to take a second offering for Montalban. We're going to send the boxes that you see right there in the lobby. Amen. So that would be for their next outreach. And also, Brother Art and the ushers, we're going to give away this Joy to the World Christmas Reflection Devotional. It's good to have something handy like this. You could keep for the ladies. You could keep it in your purse. For the men in the car, wherever you go, that every day there would be like a verse from the Bible and would remind us what the true meaning of Christmas is all about. And so, ushers, can you please distribute those who want to have the Joy to the World? You could ask for extra. I think we have more than enough. You might want to give someone that you know might know who needs Jesus. This can be a good tool to share the gospel to someone this Christmas. Amen. Praise God. You know, I did that. In fact, in my workplace, that's what I did. I have our daily bread. And in our lunchroom, there are all of these reading materials from all the Cosmopolitan and the People magazine. I grabbed some our daily bread and I left it there. And do you know when I went back the following day, they were all gone. They were all gone. And so I know that it becomes an opportunity for us to sow seeds in the hearts of people. Amen. So take advantage of every opportunity. We are also supporting their ministry, our daily bread ministry. Amen. Glory to God. And on the 15th is our Christmas worship service. It's going to be pot bless. Glory to God. Amen. Pot bless. Bring your favorite dish. I cannot promise to bring my favorite dish because I don't cook. But praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And so, what an opportunity for us. What a blessing to have once more Pastor Ayida with us this morning to minister to us the Word of God. Let's welcome Pastor Ayida. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me just take this away and give you all the room now. Praise the Lord. God bless you, Pastor Ayida.
Thank you so much.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Yes, yes, wonderful. Yes, that's right.
God has given us so much to be able to be a blessing in far places. Am I on? Not on?
Okay. Hello, I'm on now.
Okay, thank you.
I hadn't turned it on. Pastor, as you were speaking about this church in Moltanbang, is that the city, Moltanbang in the Philippines? Pastor Ramel? Okay. Just stirred up my heart and, not just on a personal level, but on a, through our ministry, which is our ministry. So it's double ministry from this house. I want to, through the ministry, sow some seed into this church, into this pastor. So I didn't come prepared to give you that check today, but I will be sure to put it in the mail to you. And we want to be a blessing to this church family as well, because they're our family as well. And so, you know, we believe that every belly should have food, every hand should have a Bible, and every life shall be saved. And so praise the Lord. So praise God forever. How awesome the work that you are doing through this house into far lands, into other nations. So thank you once again for the privilege and the honor to be able to come and bring you the word. My sister in Christ, my friend Dina, was able to accompany me again today, and that's always a blessing not to have to drive alone. And so that's a blessing. Thank you, Dina. And how was Thanksgiving? Did everybody have enough turkey to go around? Are we bigger for it today? Yeah. And now we're looking forward to yet another holiday. More eating, more rejoicing, more merriment, more opportunity to give honor and glory to God. Amen. Amen. So, you know, knowing that, of course, this month, December, is the month where not just we set one day aside, one Sunday aside, but mostly as a nation, we acknowledge that this is the month where there is rejoicing and merriment. And we as Christians understand, I hope, the reason for the season, right? And so I want to challenge you, just present a godly challenge to you to read through the book of Luke. And the book of Luke is designed with 24 chapters in it. So starting today, December 1st, take one chapter a day. So if you start today, you'll be reading through 24 chapters, ending up, that's right, on Christmas Eve. And you will wake up on Christmas Day understanding the true reason of all of this celebration. You know, the book of Luke is awesome in that it speaks about the humanity of Jesus Christ. But there's so much more. It speaks about his birth, the birth of our Lord and Savior. The book of Luke, when you read through it, it speaks through his purpose, the reason that God the Father gave us Jesus Christ. So it speaks of the purpose and the mission of Jesus Christ. The book of Luke is an awesome, all of the books in the Bible, but particularly during this season, we get to see the ministry of Jesus Christ. You know, Luke being a doctor documents so much more than some of the other authors that, you know, have written particularly the New Testament. And we get to see also in the book of Luke the cost of discipleship. You know, I think you know by now that it'll cost you to follow Jesus Christ. But it also cost Jesus to follow, you know, the love of his Father and to follow his mission on earth. So I just want to challenge you to, you know, let's just celebrate his birth by knowing who he is, why he came. And then, of course, you know, the blessed resurrection. And that's what Christianity is about. It's not, you know, Christianity is not about dying. It's about living. It's not about the death on the cross. It's about the rising from the cross. Amen. It's about us carrying the cross so that we too will rise one day. So again, I just want to give you a Christmas challenge. Beginning tonight, read one chapter in the book of Luke. And on the 25th, you're going to wake up wiser for it. Amen. You know, and let me just share this before I get to my message. As I began to read through Luke again, I was reminded of two very powerful, significant women in the Bible, Elizabeth and Mary, you know. And right in the first chapter, we read, of course, that Mary was barren and that she did not bring forth child till older age. And so as I began to read and I looked up the definition of the name Elizabeth, do you know that Elizabeth, it has several meanings, but in the Hebrew, it means barrenness. Isn't that interesting? And, you know, Elizabeth, who brought forth John the Baptist, her name meant barren. But how many know God is the God of miracles? And that's what Christmas is really all about. It's about miracles. And so Jesus, you know, would see to it that the Father would see to it through Jesus that we would understand that his life was so much about the miraculous. And then we read about Mary, the mother of Jesus, who in her young age, Elizabeth within her older age, but Mary in her young age brought forth a child. And, of course, that child being Jesus Christ the King. Our Lord and Savior. And Mary's name in Hebrew means wished for a child. I just thought that was so interesting. Elizabeth meaning barren, but also the other, the Greek definition of Elizabeth is God who is abundant. So he would wind up being the God who is abundant in her life. And of course, Mary. You know, Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. So significant. Anyway, just threw that in there only because I began to take on the challenge myself and saw through that so many things as it relates to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And trying to piggyback that onto my message this morning, how when both Elizabeth and Mary trusted in Jesus, trusted in God, they were able to rest from their toils and from their labor. Okay, they were able to enter into the rest of the Lord, which my message is about that. It's about the rest of the Lord. And so if you'll follow with me, go with me to the book of Hebrews, Hebrew chapter 4. And so the theme of Hebrews chapter 4 is rest, rest in the Lord, rest of God. And so we're going to read through the chapter. I'm going to try to cover the chapter. If not, then I'll skip through it. But I want to give you some essentials because as we go through this holiday season, the last thing you might wind up doing is resting in the Lord because there's so much pulling. There's so many obligations. There's so many commitments that we enter into. And it does become, instead of the season of rejoicing and merriment, it becomes the season of toil and striving and busyness. And so we want to do just the opposite of that. Because you know that the enemy would want to steal from us the very reason God said, celebrate my life and enter into my rest. Okay? So I want us to just be cautious of that. And so in Hebrews chapter 4, we understand that this book of Hebrews was written to the first century Jews. And so as we read through this chapter, we're going to see that the nation of Israel was in spiritual trouble. And as we understand what's going on in this particular passage, I want you to see the similarity of where the Israelites were back then as a nation, as a people, and where we are today as a nation and as a people. Amen. I want you to see the similarity there. And so we get to read where the Jews were in spiritual trouble. And what was their trouble? Their trouble was that they began to become impatient, waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. They became impatient. And as they became impatient, their faith began to erode. Okay? And so their faith, the Bible says, we will read it, their faith began to slip away. Faith slipping away. I don't know about you, but I can relate to that at different times in my life. When the storms come, faith sometimes can slip away if we don't know what to do. And the thing about faith slipping away is that it opens the door to discouragement. You become discouraged as you become impatient for the answered prayer. How many can relate to that? You know, you wait and wait and wait and you believe for the answered prayer and you become impatient. And as you become impatient, you become discouraged. And as you become discouraged, faith begins to slip away. And so in reading chapter 4, I believe God is telling us, beware of the drift of your faith. And it's very subtle. It does not happen overnight. You begin to question God. You begin to say, God, will you really answer this prayer? Are you really going to come through? Are you really Christ the healer? Come on. Are you really the God of miracles? Because I'm in need of a miracle. See, it's a very subtle thing because you begin to hear the report of the doctor. Your eyes begin to see not somebody growing better, but somebody growing worse. And so what happens that your trust in God also begins to fade. You begin to trust less. So beware. As we read this chapter, I believe that the Holy Spirit is telling us, beware of these things, because as they happen to his people, the Jews, the nation of Israel, so it can happen to you, his people. It can happen to God's people. Can I tell you that faith does not erode from those who don't know him? Because they just don't know him, so they don't have faith in him. But faith can erode and drift away from those who are God's people. Because that's the enemy working against your life. So you've got to be careful that you do not become discouraged. And when you do, you've got to know what to do. Because God's people will become discouraged. Be careful when doubt and unbelief begin to creep in. You're going to see that in this chapter. Doubt can begin to creep in. Why? Because you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting and things aren't necessarily getting better. In fact, they're getting way worse. So doubt begins to creep in. And when doubt creeps in, I've got to tell you that unbelief is right there waiting to open that door. To open that door into your heart. So that what? So that you will not believe him. So that what? So that you will not trust him. So that what? So that you become impatient and turn perhaps to other gods, other methods, other ways, other means. More faith in the doctor than in God. More faith in that treatment than in God. More faith in that medicine than in God. More faith in working 7 days a week than trusting God to work 5 days a week. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so the Jews, you're going to see, the nation of Israel, became very short on patience. And they became impatient with God. And so then discouragement began to just erode at their faith. And can I tell you, when discouragement comes in, fear is right next door. When you become discouraged, that means you're telling God, I am fearful that you cannot. I am fearful that you will not, for whatever reason. And when that begins to happen, can I tell you, the spirit of abortion comes in. And what do I mean by the spirit of abortion? Abortion to your destiny. Abortion to your answered prayer. You can abort your answered prayers. Not the devil, you, because you don't believe him, because you doubt him, because you don't trust him, because you're not willing to wait upon his answer and his timing, his way. You can abort your blessing. Listen, you can abort your miracle. You can abort your healing. You can abort your financial prosperity. Not the devil, you. Because of the same thing that the people of God did. They began to doubt. They began not to trust him. They began to believe and go other ways. They began to give place to doubt and fear and unbelief. And so, God is saying, you've got to come back to me. You've got to trust me. You've got to believe in me. These are the things you must do so that your prayers are answered, so that you do receive the miracles, so that you do have your healing, so that you do get the promotion, so that your boss tells you one day, you know what, don't come in on Sunday. I don't want you here on Sunday. I don't need you here on Sunday. Go to your church on Sunday. You know what? You got to believe for it. Can I tell you that there are two kinds of people in the church? Those who believe and those who doubt. It's that simple. Those who believe put a demand on the word of God. Those who believe say, God, if you're the God of the impossible, if you're the God that can part the Red Seas, if you're the God that came off that cross after being crucified, then you can get me a job where I can get to my church on Sunday. Now, I know that that's not popular preaching. I know that. And I know that, you know, and I don't mean to offend anybody. I don't mean to hurt anybody's feeling. What I mean to do is get you to stretch your faith and begin to believe God. That's my job. I'm a preacher. That's what I'm preaching. Not condemnation, but raise and cultivate and grow your faith so that what you've got in your heart to do, you can do. God says, look, if you can begin to believe me, you're going to see this in Hebrews chapter 4. He's telling the Israelites, if you can begin to believe me, this 40-year journey can only be 4 days, 4 weeks, not 40 years. See, some of us are believing for 20, 30, 40 years because we're not believing, we're doubting. Because we're not assured 100%. There is fear. And you need to find out where the fear is. What is it that you fear? God gives us identifiers along the way. Now look, I'm not saying that sometimes, you know, sometimes that this journey, there's no doubt in my mind that it's a faith walk. But it is a faith walk. It is a faith. See, the key to receiving is unshakable faith in Christ Jesus. Because if the devil can shake you, he will. If the devil can move you, he will. But that's why God is called the rock of my salvation. Unshakable, unmovable is he. And he says, you can be that too. Standing upon the rock, the word. You got to stand on the word no matter what. And that's not easy. I know that's not easy. But his word gives us warning, and his word gives us admonition, and his word gives us correction, and his word shows us how much he loves us and what he did to bring us the word. Because see, the intent of God was never that we would live defeated lives on earth. That was never God's intent. And even when Adam and Eve failed in the Garden of Eden, and sinned in the Garden of Eden. God said, I will restore. How many know He is the God of restoration? I will reconcile. I know what Adam and Eve did. I know what the serpent did. But I give you all authority. I give you dominion to rule, to reign, to overcome, to conquer, to live victoriously. That is not to say that sickness won't come. That is not to say that failures won't come. That is not to say that there are times when I do feel defeated. But the truth is, I'm never defeated because of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when I feel defeated, I say, you know what? Devil, I'm not staying in this. Not in my mind, not in my heart, not in my soul. Because I got the Word. I got Jesus. I got the power. And the bottom line is that He is defeated forever, forever, eternally. I may feel defeated for a moment, for a week, for a month, but He's defeated forever. And you got to remind Him. You got to remind Him of His destiny and remind Him of yours. Tell Him, I know where I'm going. I know where I'm headed. I know where my destiny lies, and I know yours too, and repeat it to Him. See, you have got to take back your authority. You need to acquire your voice. You need to understand that you've been given power to declare, to decree, to prophesy. You've been given the word to say the word. You don't have to think of what do I need to write down? What do I need to say? Just say the word. But believe it, because you can just say it and it's chatter. It's blah, 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 blah. But when you say it with faith, it has power. And God says, it cannot return to me void. I will accomplish what you send it out to do in faith. In faith. Somebody say in faith. In faith. So we're going to see some of the traps that the nation of Israel fell into. God will be faithful to show us this. Why? So that we can avoid them. So that when you see that trap, you don't walk into it. You walk the other way. Say, I'm not falling into that trap. See how wonderful God is? See how wonderful the Holy Spirit is? He's helping us through His Word. He's helping us through the Holy Spirit. Why? Because He said, I gave my life so that you would have victory. Victory. Are you ready to read the word? All right, go with me to Hebrews chapter 4. There's a lot here, but I'll just get to whatever I can get to. So, Holy Spirit, you forgive me if I don't get to it all, but they're yours, not mine. You can do that in them. Verse 1, therefore, hallelujah. Therefore, since a promise, somebody say a promise. You've been promised something. By who? By who? Who is the promise keeper? Come on. This ought to make you happy right here. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering into His rest, God's rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. In other words, beware. Listen up. Others came short of this rest that God offers you. You don't have to. I don't have to. You don't have to. Verse 2, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Who's them? The Israelites. But the word which they heard did not profit them. It was not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Wow. Listen, you could be faithful to be here Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, whenever these doors are open. And you can sit here and just hear and hear and hear and hear the word of God. And that's commendable that you would come, be faithful to come and hear the word of God. But see, if you don't mix faith with that word, the word of God is telling you something. It will not profit you. How sad is that? That you would drive from your home 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 time a week, every week.
year after year and year after year and year after year, and spend the gas and take the time and sit in this chair and come and hear the word and not mix it with faith, you walk out empty. You get nothing. See, I want to preach this message before the year closes. So I'm thankful that I'm here on the first Sunday of the last month, because I don't want 2020 to be the same as 2019. Because see, God is the God of more. He's got so much more for you. I mean, I got to tell you, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. The blessings of God are overtaking me. And I'm here to tell you, God's got more for me. And what is he saying? Mix it with faith. When you hear this word, what did Pastor Monette say? She said something about you got to hear this word, or you got to listen to this word or something. Just something so powerful about the word and hearing the word. But you got to mix it with faith to receive it. To receive the blessing, to receive the promise, to receive what he has for you. Otherwise, you're just hearing words and they're falling on the floor. How sad is that? But we're not doing that in 2020. We're not doing that in 2020. Hallelujah. What did you say, Pastor? You were so excited. I get so excited about this. Because God's got more for you. How many can raise their hand and say, I know God's got more for me? Because he does. More than you can. How many have good imaginations? I got a great imagination. More than you can imagine. Above and beyond, Pastor said. Above and beyond. He's got more for you. But you got to do what? You got to take this word today and listen with faith so that you can receive what he's got for you. So it's possible, Pastor, to receive more. It's possible. It's doable. Somebody say, right now I receive it. Right now I receive it. Because I'm loosing faith. I'm loosing faith. I'm pouring faith into the atmosphere. How many know Jesus is faith? Jesus is in the house. Faith is in the house. Woo! Just receive it today. Verse 3, we may not get through this, but that's okay. Whatever we get is what God's given us. Amen. For we who have believed do enter into that rest. Hallelujah. How many believers I got in the house? For we, that's you, talking about you, who have believed do enter into that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. But that's not you. That's not you. That's for those who have unbelief. That's for those who can't and won't believe. That's for those who are not what? Extending faith to believe, to receive. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, what is that telling us? See, all your blessings were yes and amen when he began the world. Can you imagine that? Before you were born, before God placed you in your mother's womb, he had blessings assigned to you. Is that amazing? Is that amazing? See, before you were a seed, because he planted you as a seed in your mother's womb, before he said, and that seed, whatever I inspire them to name her, him, whenever her, his time comes and I place that seed in her mother's womb, ba-da-da-da, I am going to make a list of all the blessings I want bestowed on him. From the foundation of the world, I was to be blessed. I was born with a DNA of blessing. Do you understand that? There was never to be lack in my life. There was never to be sickness and disease in my life. There was never to be barrenness in my life. There was never to be a curse on my life. I was born with blessing to be a blessing. Ooh, from the foundation of the world. From the beginning. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. How many know this is the seventh day? And because of time, I'm not going to go through everything that maybe I had prepared, but I do want to cover this. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. The seventh day. How many know the seventh day is considered to be the Sabbath day? How many know today is the Sabbath day? But see, God had a Sabbath day from the beginning. In Genesis, God had a Sabbath day. He worked for how many days? And then on the seventh day, he did what? Rested. He sat down and said, it is finished. It's good. I like what I see. I'm going to sit down and rest. See, God himself created the Sabbath day. And then he said, and it's so good, I'm going to give them a Sabbath day on earth where they will come and rest in me. What does that mean? Does that mean that there should be no greeters? That mean there should be no ushers here? That means there should be no praise and worship? That mean there should be no preacher? No. What that means, you rest in his peace. You come into the house of God. You rest in his shalom. You rest in his presence. You give him praise. You give him glory. As you do that, he heals you. As you do that, he pours down miracles. As you do that, he's working salvation into the hearts of those who don't yet believe him. That's the rest of the Lord. And you get to have a part of that. You get to play a role in that. Even though some may say, well, Pastor, you look like you're working up there. Yeah, but I got to tell you, I got more peace in me, more joy in me than I can even express to you. This to me is the air that I breathe. I love. Without this, I'm not full. This is better than turkey. This is better than turkey for me. Because even as I speak of him, I receive him. Do you understand that? Even as you sit there listening, more of Christ is going in you. That's part of the rest of the Lord. See, you don't have to work for that. You just sit and by faith say, I receive your word. I receive your miracle. I receive my healing. I receive my joy. I was unhappy, but now there's joy in my heart. That's part of the rest of God that he offers you on the Sabbath day. And that's why God created the church. To be able to come together on that one designated day. I can't say that enough. I don't know why I feel like I need to go there. Forgive me, Lord. One day. How many days does God give you a week? One day. And can I ask you something? Does he ask you for 24 hours in that day? A couple of hours, maybe. 2 hours, maybe 3 hours, 4 hours, I don't know, 5 hours. One day, you come into the house and receive my rest. Let my presence fall upon you. Let my glory come upon you. Lift up worship to me. Lift up praise and watch what I'll do in the midst of you. Just one day. Okay, I'll move on. Verse six, since therefore it remains that some must enter in, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of what? What does your Bible say? Okay, let's just go there for a little bit. Let's call it what it is. I mean, I can make every excuse in the world, you know, brother. My son is playing baseball today. There's a party, a kid's birthday party, and it starts just at the same time that church service starts. So I got to go to my child's birthday party or my child's friend's birthday party in the park on Sunday. Or you know what? The sale is on. And they're giving 70% off. And I've been looking and praying and dreaming about that 73-inch TV. And it's 70% off. But I got to be there on Sunday at 9 a.m. I'm just saying. And so it sounds good. Well, you know what? I woke up today and my hair didn't turn out right. I'll stay home. I'm not alone. And I got nothing to wear. They've seen everything I've got. I've got nothing to wear. I've heard it all. It's raining, Pastor. I can't go. It's raining. But I got me a car that works good. Because, see, God blessed me with a car. But I can't go because it's raining, Pastor. Imagine that one. Oh, my God, what else have I heard? So many things. I sneezed. I must have a cold. And, all of it sounds, I listen and I go, I have this little dog, and when I talk to her, she goes. And when they tell me these things, I go, what? Are you serious? Are you for real? What? Because bottom line is that God in his word said, God in his word said, it was first preached to them, but they didn't get the promise. They didn't get the rest. They didn't get the blessing. They didn't get the promotion. They didn't get the financial blessing because they were what? Disobedient. That's what God calls it. Disobedience. That's powerful. That's powerful. So bottom line is, can I tell you the difference? Well, no. Just what is disobedience? I won't do it. That's what disobedience is. Not I can't. You know, I can't perform brain surgery. I can't. If I did, I feel sorry for you. I can't perform surgery. I'm not a doctor. I'm not skilled. I've not studied. I can't perform it unless the Holy Spirit comes and teaches me and shows me. Other than that, I can't perform it. But see, disobedience is when I can and I won't. That's what God says the nation of Israel was like. That's what they were doing. But again, I said some things you're going to see in our nation right now. And so God is just, you know, warning us about things that his people entered into. How many are you? Are you the people of God? Are you the children of God? So he's just saying, don't enter into this. Because my children many, many years ago did, and maybe you are too. But don't, because you're going to miss out. Going to miss out on what I have for you. And one of the things that we see here, well, let's read on a little bit. Verse 6, since therefore it remains that some must enter in, those that must enter are those who believe. And those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, God designates a certain day, saying in David, this is back in the Old Testament now, today, somebody say today, after such a long time as it has been said, today, say today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And some may say, well, that's not for me. I don't care. You can preach till 3 o'clock today. It's not for me. I don't receive it. I don't take it. It's not mine. But God is giving us a warning. Today, not next Sunday, not Friday, not the midweek service, but right now. If you hear God's voice, I think what Pastor said was, those who hear the word are privileged or honored or are blessed. You know, you're sitting here in the house of God. You're hearing the word of God being preached. Do not harden your heart. That's the warning. That's the admonition. Because they did, the Jews did. And they aborted their destiny. How many know they did not enter in? Very few did. And only those that did were the ones that believed. But the majority did not. Though they all heard the word, brother. Just like everybody in this room now. Within the hearing of my voice, you're hearing the word. But some will and some won't receive today. And that saddens the heart of God. Because that's your doing. You have got to open your heart to this word. And when you open your heart to this word, say, by faith I will receive this word to my life. And watch what God will do. I promise you that. Watch how he'll transform your life. Watch how he'll change your life. Watch the blessings come upon your family. Can I tell you something? Not because all the members of my family believe, but because I believe they're blessed. Do you even understand the power of that? Do you know my children believe to a degree? And I'm thankful for that. And Pastor, they're believing more today than they ever have been. And they're closer to God today than they ever have been. But can I tell you that they've been blessed all of their lives? My sons and my grandchildren and my great-grand are blessed of God. You know why? Because Lou and I believe by faith we receive it, not just for our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. That's what you have the power to do if you will believe God. You have a lost child, believe God for their return. You have a child on drugs, believe God for their deliverance. You have a child who's living a life that you know grieves the heart of God, believe God for their salvation, their deliverance, that they'll be set free. Watch what God will do. You're believing for that house, watch what God will do with your finances. And he gives us other tools. And it's not part of my message, but how many know the tithe and the offering are part of the tools of God to get financial blessings into your hands? You're believing for that car that runs and works every time you put the key in. You know, not a car driven by, fueled only by faith, but faith in Christ Jesus and the manifestation of that. Believe God that he will. And I tell you, he wants you to get to that place more than you even want to get to that place. Because he can trust you, because you're a blessing going somewhere to happen. And then here's something else I want to get to. I'm not going to get to it all, but I'll get to a lot of this. And this is important. Verse 8. For if Joshua, we already spoke in verse 7 about David. Okay. So even if he designates a certain day, saying in David, that means Old Testament, David was saying this. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden. David said this years and years before Hebrews was even written. Now we go to verse 8, and now we're talking about Joshua. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not have afterward have spoken of another day. If Joshua could have given them rest, he would have. What is the Bible saying? If Pastor Monette could give you the rest of the Lord, she would, but she can't. You've got to receive the rest of the Lord by your faith in God yourself. And see, I love that in Hebrews, and we believe that Hebrews was written by Brother Paul, Apostle Paul. And how many know, I think Paul knew a little bit about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And had his times, had his storms. Had his valleys, had his challenges, had his trials. How many know that about Paul? But how many also know Paul never quit on God? And then God can't quit on Paul. See, if you don't quit on God, God can't quit on you. But see, if you disengage from God, what do I mean by that? Your faith starts to slip. Your faith starts to drift. That's disengaging from God. If you disengage from God, it's not that God wants to disengage from you. It's that you just keep moving further and further and further away from him. You do the disengaging, not God. Listen, he gave his life for you. Think he's going to disengage now? He rose for you. You think God wants to disengage from you now? He doesn't care how ugly your sin is. He doesn't care how nasty your sin is. What he cares about is your saving grace, the mercy that he has for you. The favor, the grace, the mercy, that's what he cares about. He's saying, I know you're a sinner, but you're saved by grace if you receive me. I know you're a sinner, but if you repent, guess what? Your sins are forgiven. You think God doesn't know your sin? You think God doesn't say, okay, on a class of 1 to 5, that's pretty nasty. But I don't care. Receive me and your sins are forgiven. How many know he turns sinners into saints? God says, I'll take you just the way you are. Come, come, Come just to wait, because I'm about to make a transformation in your life. I mean, once I was a sinner, but today I'm a saint. I'm saved by grace. Today I'm a child of the Most High God. Forgiven. Forgiven. Hallelujah. So what I like about being able to read in this book, in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, about Joshua and David, who were in the Old Testament, about these awesome leaders. How many believe that David and Joshua were great leaders? But can I tell you something? Even when you have great leaders serving you, see, sometimes a lot of what I hear is, well, you know, my pastor, you know, blah, blah, blah. Leadership in our church, blah, blah, blah. It's not about your pastor. It's not about your leaders. Listen, the nation of Israel, they had people like David. I don't know about you, but Pastor, I wouldn't stand next to David. I have to sit and listen and learn from David, right? Joshua, same thing. These were giants of faith. I'd be listening to every word coming from them. I esteem them as amongst the greatest leaders in the Old and New Testament. But even with these great leaders, the nation of Israel drifted away from God, even though they heard the word, even though they had magnificent leaders. It's not your leadership, it's the condition of your heart. Understand that. You can have the greatest leader, the greatest pastor. You can have Jesus Christ here at the pulpit. And you could choose to turn and walk away. How many know so many have? You can have Jesus here preaching his own sermon today. And people could walk out and say, not for me. It's not about who stands here. It's who lives in here. That's what it's all about. It's about the condition of your heart. It's about how much you're willing to surrender. It's about who is Lord of your life. Who have you declared the King of Kings over your life? Who have you? I know we know how to sing the songs, but there's a big difference between singing these beautiful songs and living them. Are you still the God of your own life? Are you still your own Lord? I will serve him this way. I will come when I want to come. I will come when it's convenient. I will tithe when I want to. I will present an offering, you know, when it suits me. These are things that God is saying. This is exactly what my people did. This is what the Israelites did. And this is why they couldn't enter in. And this is why they've been a people that have been persecuted and persecuted and persecuted for centuries now. Why? Because up until today, most of Israel still rejects Jesus. Do you know the percentage of Christianity in Israel today? Less than 3%. And he's their Messiah. Do you understand that? He came for them. See, it's not even about Jesus and all that he is. It's about you and who you will allow him to be in your life. 2020, we need to make a decision. Is he my God only on Sunday morning from 10 to 12 or 1? Or is he my God on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Friday and on Saturday? And at 12 midnight and at 3 in the afternoon, is he my God in school? Is he my God in the workplace? Is he my God in my marriage? With my children? Who is your God? Serve him and him only. We need to enter in to the rest of the Lord, and God is saying this is how we do it. The Bible speaks of different rests. There's the Canaan rest. I'm not going to go into that too much. There's the Sabbath rest. There's the Calvary rest. This one chapter speaks so much about who God is and the rests that he's calling us into. And they're all to bless us.
They're all to bless us. I'm going to finish with this one verse. Verse 12, because it's so powerful. And this is an awesome verse. Did you read this verse earlier, Pastor, today? No, okay. Verse 12, I'm in still Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What is God telling us here? He sent his word, and his word is Jesus. And the word of God has the power to fillet. It has the power to lay open your heart. Today, this word, can I tell you, is going out with multiple purposes. God is wanting this word today to fillet what needs to be filleted in you. Cut away. You know, there's cancer of the body, but there's also cancer of the soul. And how many know God is concerned with first the cancer in the soul? He needs to fillet that out, because it will then affect the body too. But he also wants to lay open your heart. How many know God today wants to do heart surgery, to pluck out anything that is an obstacle between you and him? Anything that aborts the free flow of his love towards you, his mercy towards you, his grace towards you, his blessings towards you. That's what his word, that's why he sent his word. The word of God will give him the condition of your heart. It'll show him the condition of your heart. But more than that, I always pray, God, let your word show me. I need to know the condition of my heart. Because there are times when things seep in, very subtle like, resentment. I just went through that. And I said, God, before the end of the year, I got to make this right. I'm not going into the new year with resentment in my heart toward this individual. What do I need to do here? Because how many know, though it might affect that person, it would affect me and my family more. And affect my relationship with him. Maybe in the scope of what's going on in the world, it doesn't seem like a big deal. But resentment in your heart will open the root. It's a root. And it opens up the door to bitterness, anger, indifference, resentment, offense. See, don't let the subtle things get away from you. Deal with them swiftly. And that's what the word of God does. It identifies so that you could be aware and then do something about it. And what is it that, and I'll close with this, what is it that we've got to do? What we need to do, my brothers and sisters, is we need to trust God. And that's a decision. People say, I can't trust God. No, it's not that you can't. You can trust God. It's just that you won't. And can I tell you why you don't and won't? Because you don't know him. Truth is, you don't know him. See, if you knew him, you would be able to trust him. Can I tell you something? I don't trust people I don't know. Right? I need to protect myself. I don't know what that person's up to. I don't know what that person does. So if I don't know them, I don't trust. Now, when I get to know them to the level that I know them, I begin to trust them. Right? We just do that in the natural with our fellow men and women. But see, you don't trust God because you don't really know God. You can sing about him. You can pray, although it's chatter if it's not faith instilled. Can I tell you that? You can pray and pray and pray and pray, and it's just chatter, 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 if it's not prayers of faith. Because that's all he hears is prayers of faith. Those are the ones he answers. Okay? So you got to know him. God saying, know me, get to know me. Then you can believe me. Then you get to trust me. Look, I'm giving you another day, another opportunity to get to know me. And then God is saying, hold on, don't quit, don't be impatient. Hold on, don't quit, don't be impatient. I'm coming again. How many know he's coming again? How many know he's coming sooner than he was coming last week? Coming sooner than even yesterday. He's coming soon. Very soon. If you read the last book of this
of this Bible. Jesus is coming very soon. But look, he gave us this morning to come to know him, to come to receive him. Go ahead and stand to your feet. Hallelujah. And so I begin to wonder, what if today, God, what if today we believe you? What if right now we trust you? What if right now we make a decision and we say, I'm just going to trust you, God. I'm just going to take you at your word, Lord, and you receive your healing. Wow. What if today you just say, you know what, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to obey you. Today I got a glimpse of more of you. I know a little bit more about you, God. I'm just going to believe you. What if today you receive that miracle that you've been praying and believing for? What if today is that day? What if today God just moves on your behalf? Listen, here's what I can tell you. God is in the house today. Spirit of the Lord is in this house right now. The presence of God is here right now. Who he is right now. And what he wants to do right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're the God who is faithful. We have said today over and over again, my God is faithful. My God is faithful. My God is the God of promise. My God is the God who's calling me into his rest. I can cease from striving, from worrying, from doubting. I don't have to carry this on my own, Lord. I can give it to you, Lord Jesus. You will come through for me, my God. Lord, you're the lifter of my head. My family is in your hands, Lord Jesus. My finances are in your hands. My children are in your hands. My life is in your hands, my God. Korabashi. Horaboshurada. Lord, I come to you just as I am. My devotional said this morning, a weak creature is who you are. But in and through Christ Jesus, I'm more than a conqueror. But in and through Christ Jesus, I'm above and I'm not beneath. Because of what you did at the cross by your stripes, I declare I am healed. Lord, because of who you are, miracles are mine in Jesus' name. Because of who you are, my Lord, my children, my household shall be saved. My family members shall be set free from the wiles and the schemes of the devil. Because you're the God of deliverance, you are delivering my friends and my family neighbors. Because you're the God of the nations, you are still and will be the God over America. I declare your lordship over America. The church shall arise and take back the nation. Because of who you are, because of who we are in Christ Jesus. I declare, Father God, that 2020, Father God, is a year we're declaring for the harvest of the Lord. Lives for Jesus, souls for Jesus. A larger harvest, Lord Jesus. Lord, we're believing for more. We're believing to be able to give more, to be more, to sow more, Lord Jesus. We're believing, Father God, for expansion, for increase, for multiplication, my Lord. More of you, Lord Jesus, is what we're after. More of your presence, Lord. More of your spirit in the house of God. Your will, your ways, Lord Jesus. Thank you, my God. Thank you, my God. Lord Jesus, we dedicate our children to you, Lord Jesus. We dedicate our family members to you, Lord. We dedicate our services to you, Lord. This is the service of the Lord. This is the house of God. This is the church of God. We are the people of God. And before you, there are no other gods. We declare your lordship, Jesus Christ. You are Lord of lords. You are the King of kings. We surrender our will and our ways, our dreams to you. We surrender our future to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, this church is your church. This bride is your bride. Lord, we don't need to strive. We don't need to be timid and fearful, Lord Jesus. If we can just believe, says the word of the Lord. If you can just believe, if you can just believe, if you can just believe, God will come through for you. God will come through for you. Thank you, Lord, that we will not fall into the same trap that the Israelites did, Lord. Impatience, discouragement, unbelief, fear, Lord Jesus. Oh, Rabasha, we will not, Lord, be those who will be dismayed, Father God, and turn to other ways and other gods. You are our God. You and only you. You're the one way, God. You're the one true God. So, Rabasha, sa. La, 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 basha, ta. Lord, we surrender. We rededicate our lives to you. Lord, I rededicate this church to you. I rededicate these sons and daughters to you, Lord. I pronounce a blessing upon each one, Lord Jesus. I declare more of Christ in them, less of them, and more of you in them, Lord. More of your power, Lord Jesus, flowing through them, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Koraba, let 2020, Father God, let the world marvel. Let the most unlikely become the most radical like John the Baptist, Lord Jesus. Radical for you. Passionate for you. Let passion arise in us. Let compassion arise in us. Let us be the Christmas lights of this season. I declare, Father God, that upon us shall be the scent of the stable, Lord. Jesus Christ in his glory. That we will carry the perfume of the Lord. The scent of the stable, Lord Jesus. That we will be the Christmas lights in the dark places, my God. Just as you came for us, Lord, we're coming for them. We're coming for the lost. We're coming for the sick and infirmed. We're coming for the homeless, Lord. Lord, we're coming for the hungry. And we're doing as you did for them, Lord. God is saying, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Feed, clothe. Do you love me? Bring my word. Do you love me? Be the light. Do you love me? Be Christ in the dark places. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, we love you. Yes, Lord, we love you. Yes, Father, we love you. Yes, Lord Jesus, we love you. Yes, Holy Spirit, we love you. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for saving us. And Lord, have your way as Pastor Monette closes out the service, Lord. Lord, those that need to be saved shall be saved today. Those that need to be healed shall be healed today, Lord. Those that have been believing for their miracles shall receive their miracle today, Lord. As we glorify and magnify Jesus. Hallelujah. And so, Lord, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for this time. I want to thank you for this pastor, Lord, the leadership, my brothers and sisters here. I want to thank you for this body, Lord Jesus. I want to thank you for this day. I bless you in Jesus' name.
Praise God. Let's acknowledge the presence of God right here in our midst. There's something about being given a precious gift, and that is the gift of faith. We don't see God with our own natural eyes, but he's real. When we take that step of faith, because coming to Christ is not coming to a religion. When Jesus said, for any one of us, we all need Jesus, because God's word says, for all of us have sinned and have fallen short of God's glory. That's why everyone needs Jesus as our Savior. There's a step of faith that needs to be done by anyone. I did that many years ago. And my life has never been the same. And an invitation will be given to anyone right here in this place, because we know and we believe that this time came from God. It's a divine appointment. And the word of God was shared to us. This day will be meaningful for that someone that has not yet received Christ. You're not coming to a religion. You're making that decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord of your life. Coming to Christ, receiving Him in your life, opening up your heart to Him, believing that what He did at that cross at Calvary was meant for you, for us. But that decision needs to be made personal. No one can make that decision for you, no one else, not a family member, but you alone. And this day, I believe this day will be meaningful to some of you who will make that decision today, because the Lord set this day for you. You heard the word. Christ is alive. Jesus is alive. He is looking down upon you. He loves you so much, and He's just wanting you to make that decision. What I'm going to do is, when you feel that tug in your heart today, and knowing that God gave you this opportunity to hear His word, the word was shared. The word of God is alive. It's active. Alive. You felt that tug in your heart. I'm going to lead you in a very simple prayer. There's something about what we believe in our hearts and we say it with our lips that seals the gift of salvation. And so I'm going to lead some of you who's going to make that decision. When you feel in your heart God is speaking to you, it says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. I'm going to lead you in a very simple prayer. Just follow me. And mean it from your heart and say it to the Lord as we say it. Lord Jesus, I come to you just as I am, a sinner in need of your mercy, in need of your grace. Thank you for loving me, that you died on that cross for me. And today I believe that I can have the forgiveness of all of my sins, because you shed your blood at that cross. Now I can be at peace with God. I receive you, Jesus, in my life. I declare with my lips that you are my Savior and be the Lord of my life from this day on. Thank you for your word that spoke to my heart today. I believe in you, and I need the power of God to live my life for you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer, now you got born again. Now you are a child of God. You can have the peace and joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord God. It's a decision that's meant to be celebrated. Yes, when you say that prayer you mean it from your heart, Christmas will never be the same. Right. It's not just about the stuff, the things, but knowing that Christ came for you. Yes. And us. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah, Lord. Yes. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, what a day that we can celebrate your love and your goodness for us. We declare that you're alive, God. When we take that step of faith, because your word says when we draw near to you, you draw near to us. Hallelujah. And Lord, we pray for those who have taken that step of faith and said that prayer. Thank you, Jesus. For the life will never be the same again. Because you said in your word that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, new things are beginning to sprout, and you're going to see it. God will make you see it for yourself.
We need to do that because we're going to take communion, and we're not going to take this lightly. Communion is celebrating the love of God and remembering that when we partake of the bread and drink the cup, that symbolizes the death of our Lord Jesus. He died that you and I may have life, the gift of eternal life. Life here on earth is temporary and short, but there's something about receiving Christ now that we can have the gift of eternal life. Before I call on the ushers to distribute the elements of communion, let me read to you first what the Word of God says, what this means. It's the Lord's Supper, remembering Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 11, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.' For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you and I proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Jesus is coming back. He came for the first time, and that's why we celebrate Christmas, his birth. But there's a meaningful event that's about to happen. And it's something that the Word of God tells us. It's a powerful promise. And when God promises something, he will do it. He's coming back for you and me. That is our blessed hope. In the midst of the chaos all over the world, you and I have this hope that Jesus is coming back for us. Amen. Where we will be with him forever. Where there is peace. In Jesus' name. Let's pray and let's just thank God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of salvation. You thought about us. You want us to be with you. And you thought of a way by sending Jesus, your Son. The punishment that should have been ours because of our sins, Jesus, you took it upon yourself. That through you, Lord Jesus, we can have the forgiveness of all of our sins. And what it means to have now to be at peace with God when we are reconciled with you because of what Jesus did at that cross. In obedience to your word, you said for us always to have to partake communion and to remember you, Jesus. The sacrifice that you did at that cross, it's powerful, meaningful, and significant for us even for today. What you did for us, Lord God, changes us. A transformation that no one else can do in our lives. Not even people who love us. It's only you, Lord, who can change us. That the God-given destiny, you have called us, each one by name. You have a purpose in each one of our lives, God. And we thank you that through the work and the power of your Holy Spirit, you're going to take each one of us by the hand, leading us to that path of righteousness, the path of life, knowing that, God, from now on, we are led not by our emotions in our decision-making, but now we are led by your Holy Spirit, guided every step of the way, each step closer to you. As we partake this communion, God, and we are never to take this lightly, God, we remember you, Jesus, for your sacrifice at that cross. In our own words, let's begin to say to the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life. Magpasalamat po tayo sa Panginoon for all of these things. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And as the elements are being passed on, let this be a moment between us and the Lord today, just thanking him. As we call on the ushers to distribute the bread and the cup. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Glory.
glory to God. Let's continue to just thank God. Hallelujah. Obedience to the Father. Lord, we respond to your invitation to come to you. In you we find rest. In you we find peace and joy that this world can never give. They are just substitutes, quick fixes. But what you offer to us is something that would last. Father, we thank you for this time. We value this time. As we partake communion, we remember you, Jesus, your love for us. This bread represents your broken body. You came here on earth. You know what it means to experience pain and all, God. Rejection, discouragement. You went through all this, Lord Jesus, for us. And you gave up your life that we may have the gift of eternal life. And even here, in this life, earthly life that we have now, when we have you, Lord Jesus, we need not be afraid, because from now on, we have you through your Holy Spirit. You give us power, Lord God, to live a life that would please you, God, which we cannot do on our own. But Lord Jesus, you sent your Holy Spirit to be with us, to be our helper, our comforter, our guide. When we are down, you pick us up. When we go through the testings of faith in our lives, you show up, God, when we call on you. So, Father God, I thank you, Lord God, for this time. Even before we partake this bread, we honor you, Jesus, and remember you, God. You are the God who saved us. Thank you, Jesus. We remember you and your finished work at the cross. As we partake the bread, let's say thank you, Jesus, for what you did at the cross. Amen. Let's partake the bread. Hallelujah. And this cup represents your most precious blood that you shed at that cross. Your blood that cleanses us from all of our unrighteousness, from all of our sins, God. No one is perfect. You are changing us every day, moment by moment. And it's your blood that cleanses us from all of our sins, failures, mistakes, God. We are made right before your eyes. Now we have boldness to come before your throne of grace, because the blood of Jesus is your provision, God, that we can. You encourage us always to come to you. And through the blood of Jesus, we have access before your presence, God. Before your throne of grace in this time and hour of need, in our lives, in our families, God. In this nation, God, we have some people with us from another place, God. In New Zealand, Lord. God, we know that, Lord, wherever we are, you are with us from now on. And we honor you, Lord God. And so we, before we partake this cup, we remember how that same blood, the same blood that Jesus just shed on that cross, the same power for us today. Yes. It has power and relevance even in our lives today. That it can bring wholeness in every aspect of our lives, that we may do your will in our lives. So Lord Jesus, we thank you. As we partake this cup, we remember you. Your precious blood that brought about our salvation, the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, let's say thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blood. Amen. Let's partake the cup. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Please be seated for a while. Amen. Time with God is time well spent. Time well spent. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, it's always a blessing to have Pastor Yida and, of course, Sister Dina with us on times like this. Amen. On the first Sunday of December, powerful message. Powerful message. Amen. And the Word of God tells us that we are to share good things with those who share the Word of God to us. How many of us have been blessed with this message today? Amen. All of us. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so we're going to take a second offering. And in obedience to the Word of God, we're going to share good things with God's messenger of his word. Amen. And we speak blessings upon the life of Pastor Ayida, Yes. Of course, and her family, and the work that God has entrusted to her. Amen. Let's pray before we take the second offering. Lord, we thank you for your word for us, reminding us that rest comes from you alone, that you created this time for us. And we thank you for the help of your Holy Spirit upon us all, that we may live a life of obedience, God. That when you speak to our lives, God, we will believe it and receive the blessings that you've intended for us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your help. You are the Spirit of grace and truth, for showing us the truth. And as we take this second offering, Lord God, we do this as unto you. That God, that we ask that we speak blessings upon the life of Pastor Ayida and her family and the church family where she serves, oh God. We thank you also for our sister Dina who's with her today. Lord, we thank you that, God, we are part of God's family, that we are part of the unshakable kingdom of God. And so, Lord, we cheerfully give this offering, Lord God, knowing that, Lord God, whatever, Lord God, we give, you will cause it to multiply for the expansion of your kingdom, in Jesus' name, and bless your servant. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's call on the ushers. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. So let me just remind you of the important dates. So next Sunday, we're going to send the boxes. We need more canned goods. Someone asked me, can we bring canned goods? Yes, yes, bring them. Bring them, the Spam, the corned beef, whatever you can bring. Amen. And so it becomes such a tremendous blessing to many of them. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And thank you for your being a part of this, your generosity and all. Amen. Let's all stand up as we will be dismissed in prayer. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We're going to pray now. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in our midst, God. We thank you for your word that never returns to you void, but in fact, God, Jesus, as the builder of the church, you are building up our faith to believe for greater things, because our God is a mighty God. We call on your name as a mighty God. Our God is greater.
Grace.
Our God is stronger. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for extending your mighty hand upon everyone gathered today.
Hallelujah.
There's something about when you extend your hand and open your hand, from whom blessings come from. We thank you for just being here for us as our faithful God. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for the message from the Word of God today that has built up our faith. And Lord, oh God, we thank you for your grace that we may live a life of obedience. Thank you for blessing your people, God, and even Amen. Our children, Lord God, in Jesus' Hallelujah. Name. And we commit to you the remainder of this time, having a lunch together, God. We thank you for the meal that we are about to partake together, and most of all, the time of fellowship, God. Amen. May we continue to talk about your goodness and faithfulness, God. Thank you, Lord God, for blessing us with your peace and joy and the strength that comes from you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you all. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Oh. Thank you. I got it.
Water, you turn.